Good evening, everybody. Did you know we didn't need a microphone? Oldies but goodies, not here. Rico needs sponsors. I got an email today from a good friend that said, if you want a sponsor, please call Rico or call her. 718-375-1023. You know, when you look at the supposedly the sins of the Torah, usually the biggest ones are the hardest ones to understand. Because, sorry, it's better. You got a stiff neck over there. The rabbis, in their commentary, point to different aspects of the otherwise simple pesukim, the verses, and it's hard to figure out exactly what went wrong. Now in the Egel, we know there was some type of golden image made and people danced to it and I guess served it, so it seems to be very, very bad, and it is. Yet when Hashem turns to Moshe and addresses the issue at hand, it's not what he talks about. Ra'iti et ha'am hazeh v'hine am kesh'orif hu. I see this nation, sounds very biblical too, and they are a stiff-necked people. Whereas my brother used to tell me, you're very stubborn. Actually, he still tells me. Stiff-necked people. And later on he says, well, you know, they want to go there to Israel, but I can't let them go. Ki am kesheror efata, because you're a stiff-necked people. And over, that same phrase, am kesheror. Some of the commentators will tell us, it's, oh, they said, Ele Elokecha Israel. These, is this thing called Shutafut, attributing power to a power other than Hashem. That's real Abu Dazara. But you know, as we mature, and we get a little older, a lot of the simple storylines surprise us. We're told that the people who stood at Har Sinai are Dor De'ah, the generation of De'ah. They knew, meaning they had the clearest visions, the clearest picture of the truth. They stood in Har Sinai, they heard the voice of Hashem, they crossed through the sea, they saw the presence of Hashem and pointed and said, Zeh, that's it. Zeh Elivan Veh. And they ate the man. They were Dor De'ah, they're called. They were in this huge 40-year Kollel program with Moshe Rabbeinu as Rosh Yeshiva, Aaron HaKohen as the Mashkiach, Yoshua is the prize student, and he's a Sarei Chamishim. So you can imagine what was going on there. And now tell me, you intelligent adults who've left third grade more than a few years ago, I guess today with all the stories here, that's very fortunate that we could say that. Do you honestly believe that they believed that the earring and the nose ring that they threw in the fire and came out as a calf actually took them out of Mitzrayim? No, you say. I saw the head going, oh, I don't believe that. So tell me what the parasha means. You don't believe they believed it, do you?
But they took an earring off, they threw it in the fire, out came a calf. That David HaMelech in Tehillim says, Shor Ochel Esev, it actually moved, it ate grass. But still, when they say, Elokecha Yisrael Sheheluchah Min Mitzrayim, this is the God that took you out of Egypt. Do you honestly believe that people of that stature, of that level of spirituality, were saying, that's it? I know you don't. I've spoken to less intelligent crowds, and maybe they believe it, but not you! Impossible! So let's look at Hashem's description of their problem. Rekeshe Oref. In the Gemara Yoma, talks about Horban Abayit, not about the Egel, about the destruction of the temple. And it asks for the reason. Bishonim Shenitgala Avonam Nigala Kitzam. The first generation to lose a Mikdash, since the sin was apparent, they understood what they did wrong. The end of the Galut was revealed to them. 70 years, you'll make up for it. Aharonim, the second bayit, the later generations, Shilonit Galavonam, that their sin was not apparent. It's a loose translation. Lonit Galakitsam, the end of the Galut, the end of the punishment, the end of the purging period, it's not revealed. And if you subtract 68 from 2005, that's this year in their count, minus 68 is 1937, I believe. You're an actuary, aren't you? Come on. 37 and 68 is 05, no? Come on, you're going to school, don't you? Look at that. Maybe, 1937 years ago, nobody ever passed math without you. The reason why you don't understand the math teacher is she doesn't understand it either. 1937 years ago, there was a Mikdash that was destroyed, and because the sin was not revealed and not clear, we didn't make up for it yet. That's what the Mikdash is saying in the Gemara Yoma. The Gemara is 1500 years old. Basically, one of the ways of looking at the Gemara is that since they knew what they did wrong, they were able to make teshuvah. They were able to repent. But when you walk around, hey, I knew nothing. What I knew, me? You don't know me, I knew nothing. How are you going to make teshuvah? Can't. If you don't know what you did, you can't fix it. And that's what Am Kesher Oref is about. It's not the matter of the doing of the chet, the performance of whatever avodah zarah, whatever strange thoughts, whatever strange deeds they did that are considered idol worship. That went on, that happened. You can read the simple pesukim, you can read them, and you can understand them on the surface, and you see there was some type of idol worship. Another way of looking at avodah zarah is they attributed power to someone other than Hashem. Not that they eliminated. Elokecha is written in plural with a yud. These are your gods. that took you out of Mitzrayim. But when Hashem turns to Moshe, he says clearly, Ra'iti et ha'am hazeh, I see this nation, v'ne'am kishe'oref hu, it's a stiff-necked people, leave me alone, and I'll take care of them. Of course, in the negative intonation of I'll take care of them. I should have done a search. I didn't think of it. Like I said, I didn't have time today to prepare a proper class. You were all getting second-rate class tonight. But actually, I should have done a search and put in Am Kishei Orev and see how many times Hashem repeats it. Because it's multiple times through the, I guess, the agadic portions of the Torah, the portions that talk about the misdeeds of our forefathers in the desert. And Hashem, whenever he gets to the point, tells Moshe, you know what the problem is? They got a neck problem. Which is a great title for this tape. Nobody knows what I'm talking about. That's the object of the title of the tape, so they'll never know what it's about. They have to listen to find out. I get these emails and these calls. How come you don't put what parasha it is? Because then we put it out, you won't listen anymore because it's last week. But if you see neck problem and you get a bad night's sleep, I gotta hear this tape about the neck problem. And last week was U.S. of advertising. What is that about? So this stiff-necked people is my problem tonight. Because a stiff neck keeps you away from teshuvah. And when you're away from teshuvah, that's when Hashem has to say, I have to take drastic action. I'll give you a chance to make up for it. But if your nature is such that you probably won't do what's right, so why wait? I see Amke Cheorevu Ve'ata, now Hani Hali, leave me alone, get away, V'yichar Api Bahem, and I will become angry with them, furious, V'achalem, and I'll destroy them, will be, V'achalem means be done with them. V'achulu HaShemayim, it was finished, right? You know that part. Since they're Keshe Oref, even if they know what the sin is, they probably won't admit it. And if they don't admit it, they certainly won't make up for it. In Yirmiyah HaNavi, Hashem reveals to the prophet why he's going to destroy the Mikdash. Hineni nishpat otach. I'm going to judge you or bring a verdict upon you. Al omrach lo chatati, al omrecha. Because of the fact that you say, I didn't do it. I didn't sin. Well, if they didn't sin, then they don't deserve a punishment. So they must have sinned. Hashem's complaining about it. And because of the sin, they deserve a punishment. So if they deserve a punishment for the sin, you follow me, somebody got lost already. And if they sin, and they deserve a punishment for it, so why does Hashem say, I'm going to punish you because you say you didn't do it? Punish them for what they did. It's not E101, hear me out. Punish them for the sin. Don't punish them because they said they didn't sin.
You got me, Charles?
Okay. My friend Charles. It's a great last name. Can't do it on a tape, you can't embarrass.
But the point of your Mi'ah statement is that the first step to teshuvah, the first step to fixing chatati, admit it.
Did you do it?
No, never. You never did, did you? Your sister did it. Your brother did it.
Who spilled that? Not me!
The first thing a child does, deny it. Brains start shooting all directions, just not me. The fact of the matter is, if a person recognizes that they did wrong, if they acknowledge it, the person is actually judging themselves. The person will probably feel regret. People are basically good. And if a person takes care of it here, no need for outside, from up above type of intervention. And that's what the prophet means when he said, behold. What does he mean in English anyhow?
Must be behold. It's like a really biblical word.
Here I am, about to judge you because you said lo chatati. That person gets double trouble for what they did and for not admitting it. And that's why Hashem tells Moshe, I'm angry with the people. They did turn away from the right path. But if they would have admitted it, they could have eliminated a lot of the anger, a lot of the wrath. Sephorno. Hine am kisheoref hu. Behold, they are a stiff-necked people. Gid barzel orpam. A steel. Watch yourself. You know what a gid is? You love my English translations, don't you? You learn new words every week here. What's a gid? Is it gid anasher? You know, gid anasher? That when Yaakov got hit by the angel, he started to limp. So, Arkan, lo yochalu, and he said, gid hanan. What's a gid? I can't even pronounce it. It's a sinew. S-I-N-E-W. Is that a new sin or a sinew? What is that? Anyhow, that's what it means. In the neck there's this gid, and it's made of barzel. Barzel? The team that won the World Cup. Brazil! No, it's iron. It's not steel, they didn't have steel then. It's iron. So Sephorno tells us, I lost my place. Yi bazel or pam, their neck, the back of their neck, the oref is made of steel. The lo yifnu lishmoa devre shumore tzedek. And they won't turn to listen to anyone who attempts to teach them righteousness. The orfan, in a way, in a manner, she'en tikva she'yashuvu v'tshuva. There's no hope for them to make teshuva. Sephorno or Yahil, saying the same thing. Hashem's decision to punish so drastically before the prayers of Moshe for forgiveness, which is leave me alone, I will wipe them out. Because why not? If they're not going to fix it themselves,
Let's be done with it. So that's why he points to Kesher Odef, not to the sin. A sin is very bad. But if you still have an opportunity to fix it, that's good. And if you're going to fix it, or there's a strong possibility of it, or any possibility to fix it, Hashem is very patient. El Erech HaPayimu. But if the people demonstrate as a whole that they have a steel neck that doesn't turn right or left to listen to Tocheha, to reproof, so let's call it a day. That's Hashem's attitude. It says in Devarim, Umaltem et Orlat Levachem. You will circumcise your hearts. Ex pasuk. The second half of that pasuk is Ve'orpechem lo tikshu od. If we can circumcise the hearts, in other words, take off the stuff that blocks it, remove it surgically, then you will no longer be stiff-necked. Sefer Mitzvot Ketanot Samak says that there's a mitzvah, Lamur Olat Lev, to circumcise that impure part of the heart, to like reproof. So if I tell you you're doing wrong, rather than deny it, tell me more. I like that. Help me. This should be part of Shalom Bayit series, you know? You tell me I'm wrong, good, tell me more. Save a lot of marriages that way. We can teach people to like Tocheha. That's what Ezek and Egdo means. Honey, why are you wearing that tie? It's so first, let's see what color it is. I don't even know what it looks like. You need somebody opposite you to tell you what you're doing wrong. You need that eye watching from the outside, outside the forest and the trees, to tell you you're doing wrong. And when they do, rather than deny it, rather than fight it, rather than dislike it, rather than give a dirty look, smile and say, I love you. Tell me more. That's what he says. I read it to you again. Bilashon HaKodesh. Le'ehov batochachot. Ve'le'ehov mi sheyochi henu. Says the Samach, there's a converse to that. That's a positive commandment. Love the one who tells you you're wrong. And the opposite, the converse, the corollary, the Orpechem lo tikshu od, the other half of the pasuk, and no longer shall thou harden your stiff neck, but the steel thing in it called the sinew. It's as if you have an important date and you get all dressed up, and it's somebody new, and this is going to be your first impression, and you come down and your mother, who you love to fight with, because she's sure you should look differently than you look, and you're sure you should look like you do look, tells you, dear, I know it just came back from the cleaners, but there's a stain on the sleeve of that dress. That skirt has a spot on it. Your chance of happiness ruined by shout. Didn't get it out. Thank Mom, go change right away. You love her for it. I know it's unusual, but you actually appreciate that she told you. So if somebody tells me you performed an act that put a stain on your neshama, we won't go far as to say, go kiss them. They'll love them. Thanks. You're pointing out my weakness, and I shall fix it. Tell me more. Thank them. In fact, if you don't like it, that turns into kishrei orif. Because you got to continue what you're doing or be the way you are to prove I'm not going to listen to him. I'm not going to listen to her. Well, there goes the neck. Stiff as could be. Now, the Samach says, Sefer Mitzvot Ketanot Samach Mem, of course, that this is a mitzvah aseh. It's a positive commandment. What does that mean? So what if I don't do it? Would any of you gentlemen consider not putting on tefillin? Mitzvah aseh? Would any of you young ladies, I include you all in the word young so you can feel good about it. I didn't get to be a teacher for nothing, huh? You know. Never met an old lady yet. Would any of you young ladies consider not to be Oved Hashem through prayer? So what if I don't pray? But once a day, at least, mitzvah aseh. That's called mevatel mitzvah aseh min haTorah. Nullifying, wiping out a positive commandment of the Torah by not doing it. Now, although we hear that a lot of the negative commandments are, I think the things you should stay away from are probably worse, you shouldn't do them. But actually, if you get deep, the positive commandments are your building of your Olam Haba. And anything you don't do leaves a big gaping hole in that mansion you're going to live in forever. So who would want to live without a front door, a back door, a stairway? Or a kitchen or a refrigerator. Nobody loves refrigerators. Huh? It's just a big square nothing. I say refrigerator, everybody smiles. But you wouldn't want to be in Olam Haba forever without a refrigerator. Any mitzvah that's there could be the refrigerator, folks. You don't know. Doesn't say which is which. So mitzvot that says building your world, your eternity. Would you want to miss one? Well, one of them is love the one who gives you reproof. Not love the one who gives you allowance. Or love the one who gives you a car. Or a real Rolex, not the ones that they sell online. No! Love the one who gives you reproof. The one who circumcises your heart. So Hashem revealed to us the secret But it gives us a beautiful addition to it. It's the type of connection we can't make on our own. Hashem tells us in Shas, Kol ha-ma'avir al-midotav ma'avirin lo al-kol fishav. Now, ma'avir al-midotav is a pretty hard expression to translate. But it basically means the one who is not particular and lets things pass. Let it slide. Don't stand on ceremony. Ma'avir al-midotav, somebody does something, it really upsets you, it bothers you, but you know something, so what? That's not a translation of ma'avir al-midotav, but that's what it means. And if a person is that way, what do? He's ma'avir, he lets it pass, he lets it slide. Ma'avirin or akol pishav, they take away all of that individual's transgression, pishayim. I think hatayim is transgressions, but I don't know what pishayim are anyhow. It's a rebellious transgression, so I guess it's a little worse. And this is a sigula. What does one thing have to do with the other? You made a sin, you got to pay. You did a mitzvah, you got a reward. What does the fact that you did something to me and I'm not particular about it have to do with a sin being erased that I might have done to somebody else? Or against Hashem? Maybe be din adam lamakom. So somebody does something to me and I say let it slide, it doesn't matter, and then they erase the sin. So the sigula doesn't work in a regular fashion. Even according to spiritual physics, it shouldn't work. They're not connected. We know midah keneged midah, that works. Person feeds somebody, Hashem sends him money to buy food. Works! Person takes something from someone, Hashem takes a similar item from that person. Midah keneged, it works! Spiritual physics, we call it. But this ma'avir amidotav, ma'avirin lo, ma'avir, the word sounds great. But how does it work? How can it heal the damage done by the sins? Erase them. Ma'avirin lo. So now you go home with a secret. You say, I'm not perfect. For those of you in Tape Land, in Brooklyn, that means perfect. I ain't perfect. I do things wrong sometimes. I try to be good, but sometimes I slip, and sometimes my yetzer gets to me and makes me do things. And I lose the battle against the yetzer, and I do things that are not good. How am I going to watergate the tape? There's this long, hard process of teshuvah where there's a shortcut. I can train myself to be ma'avir al-midotav. He's here. I'm waiting for someone to take advantage of me. I'm waiting for someone to insult me. I'm waiting for someone to hurt my business. Just so I could say, it's nothing. And I could see that great teacher in the sky turning around with a wet eraser and cleaning the blackboard. Where it said, sin, 5, 10, 15, 20. Just washing it away! Because I said, it really doesn't matter. Do it again! It's a great secret, isn't it? Aren't you glad you got your boots wet tonight? Stepping any puddles on the way in? What? You know why it works? I'll tell you why it works. You want to get rid of Hashem's anger over your misdeeds? The main cause of the haron af is not the act itself. We learned that from the Hegel. They did some pretty horrible things that day. Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, 24:48. That was the date. That day was a very black day in Jewish history. But the Haron Af, Hashem's true anger, so to speak, was because of the Kishe Oref involved. And a person who shows that they're very pliable, I don't react in the fixed, normal way to an insult, to a hurt, physical, financial, or otherwise, emotional. I'm pliable. I let it go. Doesn't bother me. That midah keneged midah quells the anger. It calms down, kaviyachol, the correct reaction, and gets me this magic potion called ma'avir amidotav. Upstairs too, he's not insulted. That's the connection. When you do what's wrong in the eyes of the Torah, you're saying, so to speak, I don't care what you want. I don't care what you say. I don't care what the book says. I'm doing what I want. I'm okay. And after I do it, it doesn't bother me either. That's kesheoret. But if it bothers you, and you show regret and the willingness to move when somebody hurts you, when you hurt, you deserve the same treatment. That's the midah keneged midah. And it's deeper than that. You see, in order to be that way, in order to be ma'avir amidotav, you need some very important character traits. Like anav, modest, humble. You want to tell somebody when you're angry? You can't do that to me. You know who I am. You, Billy? There's a famous story, I think I told you about 300 times already, just came into my head, about a great rabbi whose name I don't remember right now, who always insisted from the gabbai of the shul to see, be very careful who he seats next to the rabbi on the high holy days of Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. And so the Gabbai was very careful, and he picked somebody who thought would really suit the bill. And that night, the man prayed, he davened, he shekeled, he sullied. And every time a Yom Kippur vidui came out, Imani, Malayai, who am I? What is my life? I'm dust, I'm ashes, I'm nothing. Please forgive me. If I'm this way in my life, what am I worth in my death? Ani tolad velo ish. I'm a worm, not a man. Rabbi was very impressed. The great choice his Gabbai made for his neighbor in the high holy day services. Until the next morning, when they distributed the aliyot, the opportunity to go up to the Torah. And when this man saw that someone else was given one of the favored high holy day honors, he started a very vociferous argument with the Misadeh, the Gabbai, the one who sends the people up, the one who gave him the seat. And when everything calmed down after this big ruckus in the synagogue, the rabbi turned to the man and said, excuse me, I heard your prayers. I can't believe a man who honestly prayed about being nobody and nothing, dirt and a worm, could actually stand on ceremony and fight with another over who gets which aliyah. Weren't you sincere with your prayers? And he answered, Rabbi, in regards to Hashem Almighty in heaven, I'm nothing. But in relationship to that guy, him over me, to be ma'avir amidotav, a person has to believe it's true not only in relationship to Hashem, but in relationship to others. Who am I? I'm not so important. That person's probably a better Torah Jew than I. Probably more observant than I. Probably more God-fearing than I. Probably a better learner than I. Probably a greater Baal Chesed than I. Why should I stand on ceremony in relationship to that person? A person who recognizes their own shortcomings. A person who realizes they do things that are wrong. In contrast to the one that's kishe order, stiff-necked, gets close to teshuvah, there's hope for that person. And Hashem in his patience quells his haronaf, his anger, and patiently watches and waits and waits and waits for the person to accomplish self-fixing rather than external forces taking care of the problem. But even that's not the end of the story. In the Yalkut, Chazal tell us, very esoteric pasuk, that means he hangs the planet Earth al bilima. I don't know how it's suspended in space. The world exists
And the different sages bring reasons. The first, Bizchut Moshe Aaron. That's why the world exists. They said, Nachnu Ma. What are we? Who are we? We're nothing. The second sage said, Bizchut Tavol En Piv Bishat Meriva. The one who keeps their mouth shut when an argument could ensue. And the third sage said, Bezchut mi shemisim atzmo kimi she'eno. In the merit of one who sees himself or herself as nothing. Not only is Mavir Amidotav a good way to get rid of your sins, that's not the long, the tall, and the short of it. Not only does it work to get rid of the Pishaim, the whole entire creation exists because of that person. Tole Eretz Al Bilima, Bolem Piv, the one who shuts his mouth and doesn't answer back, keeps the world turning. Is there anything greater than that? That you can possibly hope to be? You out of towners are probably not familiar in tape land, CD land, and MP3 land, however you listen to this particular night's talk, with the statue, the artwork in Rockefeller Center. Over there they have a man on one knee, crouched over, with a giant globe on his shoulder. A mythological hero holding up the world. Comes the Pasuk and says, you know that piece of artwork? Sheker. It's a lie. Do you know who's holding up the world? The one who keeps his mouth shut when insulted. The one who doesn't fight back when he has a business problem with another. When he's bamboozled by a dishonest person. Or taken advantage of someone by someone more powerful. That's who's holding up not only the globe, but the entire creation. Is there anyone greater than that? This little 97-pound weakling who goes to Olam Abba, and they show the video of this slight, weak, timid, humble individual upon whose shoulders rests the entire creation. Guess whose table that person sits at in Olam Abba? Back row? Third row? No. Gets to sit at the table for eternity with Moshe Rabbeinu, with Aaron HaKohen HaGadol. Tole Eretz Al Bilima. The one who could say, Nachnu Ma, what am I? I don't even have a right to be insulted.
let it slide. It's really worth it. Let it slide. Not so important. Let it slide. It'll get you good seats. Very good seats. And not for a 1 hour show. For eternity. And that's a very long time. And it's a very good seat. Isn't it?